Good evening, everybody. Tonight's Divrei Torah should be Ilui Neshama for those Kedoshim who lost their Neshamas yesterday, and I just want to pick up on a theme that comes up quite often when you have Talmidei Chacham who tragically pass away. We have the following Shaila. Just before we get into that area of Halacha, I was reminded yesterday of a story that they print about Rav Kook, that when his father-in-law, the Aderes, passed away, so Rav Kook gave a hesped, and he got up and he said that this reminds him of sometimes you have a wagon driver who's trying to ride with his horse, and the horse sometimes needs a little bit of encouragement, a little bit, you know, he has to galvanize the horse that the horse should keep going, the horse is getting lazy. So sometimes you have the wagon driver will take, you know, he'll just scream at the horse, he'll shout at the horse, and that's good enough, the horse will continue to go. Then said Rav Kook, sometimes that's not good enough. Sometimes the horse is such thick skin, you have to go and you have to hit him. You have to take a stick and you have to hit the horse, you have to kick it. And sometimes that's also not good enough. And he said, sometimes you have to take a stick and hit it on the head, right where the skin is soft, where the skin is not callous. That's the only time that he'll be able to get a reaction, that he'll be able to evoke a response from the horse. It's only if he hits him on the head really hard with a stick, that's when he'll get it. Said Rav Kook, sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam has to come to us when we're so apathetic, when we're so callous and unsympathetic in the way we view our own Avodas Hashem and the way we view our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes it's good enough if he just shouts at us. He'll make a little storm, a little flood in the basement, and we have to work hard to get rid of it. Okay, it's a tircha, it's annoying, but sometimes that's enough to make us realize that he's trying to galvanize us, that he's trying to energize us to move forward, to do what we have to do. Sometimes it's not good enough. Sometimes we have generations where you're so callous, where Klal Yisrael doesn't get the message. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to do something a little bit worse. So he does something a little bit worse, and sometimes he has to mamash hit us on the head like that balagala. Sometimes you have to get hit on the head for the Ribbono Shel Olam to make us wake up and to realize what each one of us has to do, and it's nobody's place to say what the cheshbonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam are. It's nobody's business what the Ribbono Shel Olam's cheshbonos are. However, it is our place and it is our business to figure out lefashfesh b'maaseinu, to figure out on our own what each and every person has to do, what we can fix, what we can change on our own, to create a greater connection, to create a greater awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence in our lives and in our day-to-day activities, in our shmiras hamitzvahs, in our diktuk, in davening, in our tefillas. And there, this terrible basura, this terrible tragedy that we had yesterday should be, in some ways, that should be the last wake-up call that we need, and in some way it should be ma'or us to do whatever we have to do, to go weiter in our Avodas Hashem and in our connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there's a very interesting shaila that comes up quite often when you have Talmidei Chacham who pass away. They leave in the tzava, if they were in a position where they were able to write a tzava. I would imagine many of these Talmidei Chacham yesterday were very young and probably didn't even have a tzava. But often you have Talmidei Chacham who leave in a tzava that they don't want anyone to be maspidem after they pass away. They don't want to have a spedim. They have anivus. They say they don't want anyone to be misaper b'shvacham. So they want to leave the world just like that, without having any hespedim set. So the question is, are we supposed to honor that request? Are we supposed to listen to them? Look, that's what they say in the tzava, so we listen. Or do we assume, no, that we should go ahead and give a hesped any, albeit that it's against the wishes of the nifter, against the wishes of the mace, but still, perhaps we should not listen to the nifter in this regard. So what is the background of this shaila, and what's the basis of understanding whether or not we're supposed to listen to the Talmud Chacham or not? So the Gemara has in Ksubas, just by way of introduction, the Gemara has in Ksubas, Davayin and Gittin, Daf Yadalad, the same Gemara in both places, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis. We have a mitzvah to listen to the request of the Nifter. So that's the Gemara says, that we have a particular mitzvah to listen at the dying request of what the person said before he passed away. So the Poskim have a very interesting Shaila. This is spoken about in the Shvus Yaakov. He was one of the Dayanim in Prague in the late 1700s. So the Shvus Yaakov has the interesting Shaila. So what happens, let's say, take for example, a father on his deathbed says, I don't want my daughter marrying this boy. Or, I only want that my daughter should marry this boy. He's the only one who she can marry. The daughter, okay, she feels that she should listen to her father, but at the same time, what if I like somebody else? Or what if I don't like somebody else? I've been dating for a long time, and I think this is the right boy. I have to listen to the father, because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. Take for example, let's say you have a father on his deathbed, he says, you know, I want all of my children from here on in to wear tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam every day. Okay? So if I'm a chassid, a real Yari Shamayim, so I'm wearing tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam anyway before my father asked me to do it. But let's say I'm not, I'm a Pashut Yid. I don't wear tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam every day. I wear tefillin d'Rashi. My father comes along and he says, on his deathbed, he says, I want you to wear tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam. You should start being clear. Does he have a right to say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis in all in yanim? Whatever the father says on his deathbed, I have to listen to? Or do we say, no, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, perhaps, as the Shvus Yaakov, is only within yanim amenus? In the same way, Zakta Shvus Yaakov, that the father has a right to divvy up his his estate, he can say, I want this child to take the life there, I want this one to get the house, I want that one to take my car. So too he has a right to say that anything that has to do with the guidelines of Minyanei Mamonos, perhaps that's the only jurisdiction he has what to tell his children to do. He only has dictation on that. But to go above and beyond his own personal life, to go into my life and to tell me how I'm supposed to live, to tell me, look, it's a nice thing as a child to listen to the father anyway, but let's say I don't have a spare $1,000 to buy a new pair of tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. So does the father have a right to tell me that also, and I have to listen to him? Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis spills over to other inyanim as well. So this is, the Shvus Yaakov argues that perhaps it only applies to Dinei Mamonos. The Shvus Yaakov is not the first one to say it. This is already much earlier. The Tashbetz has in the early 1300s, Tashbetz has the same thing, one of the Gedolei Rishonim. He says the same thing. Perhaps we should only assume that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis applies to the Dvarim that are Nogea to Inyanei Mamonos. But outside of that realm, when he's infringing on my life, so that he doesn't have a right to do. That I don't have to listen to him. The problem is, the Medrash says in Parshas Vayechi, that the children of Yaakov Avinu listen to what the father says. Vayasu banav kechal asher tziv alehem. The children of Yaakov Avinu listen to what the father said. What did Yaakov Avinu ask? Al nasib grein mit Mitzrayim. I want you to bring my body. I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Rashi quotes the reason why, but Lamaisa, the Medrash says over there, Rashi doesn't quote this, but the Medrash says over there, Mikan, you see from here, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. No. So what is that? That's not in Yanei Mamonos. That's in something else. Yaakov Avinu is asking that he wants his children to be matriach themselves, to bring his kvura to be out of Mitzrayim. He doesn't want it in Mitzrayim for whatever reason. So what's the pshat? How can the Medrash say, Mikan shemitzah l'kayim divrei ameis? How can the Tashbetz? How can the Shvus Yaakov ignore what the Medrash says beferish? We learn from the Pasuk that the sons did exactly what Yaakov asked for. How can we ignore that Medrash if in fact they're arguing that it only applies to Dinei Mamonos? We have a Medrash here that says beferish that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis even spills over to other inyanim. Rav Asher Weiss once told me perhaps the pshat is that even the Tashbetz and even the Shvus Yaakov who argue that it only applies to Dinei Mamonos, they don't mean only Dinei Mamonos and nothing else. They mean anything that's nogea to the father, anything that's nogea to him. So he has the right to decide where he wants to be buried. He says, Al nosik berein in Mitzrayim, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis on that also. But when he's coming into my life, that's what the Shvus Yaakov is addressing. When he says to me, I have to wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam every day. When he says to me, I want you to marry this girl, I don't want you to marry this boy, so that he has no right to infringe on, because that's not his life, that's already infringing on something else that's outside of his own life. So now the question is, we come to the Shaila of a Hespit. So the Nifter leaves at Tzava, he says, I don't want to have a spadim for whatever reason, he thinks it's a kapara for himself, he doesn't want to have a spadim. So the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, a suffix in the Gemara, do we assume that a hespit is yikra d'chayi, or do we assume that it's yikra d'shichvi? What does that mean? Do we assume that the reason why we give hespedim is because we want to give the live aveilim, we want to give the family a chance to console themselves, to comfort themselves, to let it out, to say what they want to say about the nifter, but really the nifter is already somewhere else, it's not for the kavod of the mace. Or, says the Gemara, perhaps we should assume that a hespit is mishum kavod ha-mace. The reason we do it is because we all assemble to show how much the mace meant to us, how much we respected this person, and we want to say the shvachim of this individual, so therefore, that's why we give espedim. That's the Gemara's suffix. What's a nafkamina? Says the Gemara, nafkamina is pashut. Let's say the person says, I don't want to have espedim. So if we're giving the espedim, I'll cover to the nifter, so he has the right to decide whether or not we should give the hespit or not. But if the espedim are not for him, if the espedim are for the live people, so what right does he have to be mochel on my covet? If everyone's assembling here for the covet of the live aveilim, the nifter has no right to be mochel on that covet. It's not his covet to be mochel on. Imagine somebody owes somebody else $100. And a third party comes along and says, you know, I'm mochel the chov. What do you mean you're mochel the chov? It's nothing to do with you. Only the two parties involved could be mochel the chov. A third party can't be mochel. It's not up to the third party to do anything, to get involved here. So that's the same thing over here. The Gemara has that suffix. Rabbi Kiveger has a similar suffix when we sit Shiva. Rahman al-Islam, when we sit Shiva for a nifter, so that sitting Shiva, is that Mishum Yikra D'chayi or Yikra D'shichvi? Do we assume that you're sitting Shiva because we want to give an opportunity for people to visit the live people who are sitting Shiva who are distressed? Or do we assume that no, that really the Shiva is in order that we should extol the virtues of the Nifter that already passed away? It's not for the covet of the Chaim, it's for the covet of the Mason. That's why we sit in a low chair to show that our whole lives are upside down, that everything's different. That's a suffix that Rabbi Kiva Hager has along the lines of the suffix in Gemara Sanhedrin. What is the point of a Hespid? So this is a very interesting shaila. How do we paskin? So we paskin halacha lemaisa both in Chashem Mishpat as well as in Yaradei. It's in two places. The Mechaber says, Shchiv mirasha amar al tispeduni. If a person on his deathbed says, I don't want to have a spedim, ein soptan oso. We do not go against his wishes. We follow what he asked for. And the Sma points out there in Chashem Mishpat, the Sma writes, not that lo hifsid if we don't listen to him. No, he says it's usher to go against his wishes because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, and we're supposed to listen to him. And as we said before, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis doesn't only mean dinei mamonos, but it means anything that has something pertaining to the nifter. So he has the right to decide whether or not he wants to have hespedim. That is the simple understanding. If you stop there, then it's a pashat ha'shaila, and there's nothing to talk about because the hespedim are really for the kavod of the nifter. Nifter didn't want it, so that's it. However, not so simple. They write, Reb Shlomo Eger writes, that he remembers when his father passed away, Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Rabbi Kiva Eger also wrote in his Tava that he doesn't want to have a spadim, and they didn't follow Rabbi Kiva Eger asked. What's the pshat? So Shlomo Eger says, I don't understand. Why didn't we listen? If the halach is clear, Shulchan Aruch, both in Chashem Mishpat and Yarvadei, it says clearly you have to listen to the mace, have to listen to what he asked for, so why did we not listen to my father? So he explains as follows. He says, because if you're not going to give a spadim for a person who passes away, it's not just that you're not giving kavod to the nifter, it's going to be a zilzul, it's going to be a bizayon to that person. So here you have a Talmud Chacham. The great Rabbi Kiva Eger passes away. Rabban Shokoban, everybody heard of Rabbi Kiva Eger, everyone knows Rabbi Kiva Eger's svarim, his great godless betar, his tzedakah, his chesed, everything he did, and you're going to tell me that we're not going to take out a few minutes, a few hours to give hespedim on Rabbi Kiva Eger? That's not just a lack of kavod, that's a bizayon to him. It's not just that we're going out of our way to listen to his request. No, it's worse than that. It's a bizayon to Rabbi Kiva Eger. And therefore, said of Shlomo Eger, you can draw a comparable case to what it says the Gemara has in Bava Metzia. Let's say you have Hashavas Aveda. Zokin Meina Lefi Chvoda says the Gemara is Pater. What does that mean? Let's say you have the example I was always given by my Rabbeim is imagine, if you can imagine such a thing. Rabbi Yashav is walking down the street. Everybody knows who Rabbi Yashav is. He comes across a woman's dress in the street that he doesn't know who it is. Hashavas Aveda. So he has to go around knocking from door to door asking, oh, by the way, I found this in the middle of the street. Is this yours? Says the Gemara, Zakin Menel Lefi Chvod is Pater. Zak the Rush, what's the din if Rabbi Yashav is such a great tzaddik? He says, I know I'm Pater, I want to do it anyway. How do you take the mitzvah away from me? So I want to do Hashavas Aveda. So is he allowed to, Zak the Rush? No, he's not allowed to. He's not allowed to be Machal on his covet. Why? Because we say that it's not just that he's not being Makbid on his covet, it's a Zilzal in his covet. Anyone who sees Rabbi Yashav walking around the streets, knocking on all the doors, that's a Bizayan HaTorah to him. That's not just that he's not being Machabin himself, that's a Bizayan HaTorah to him. And therefore he has no right to be Machal on that. Either Rambam disagrees, so he says, yeah, okay, the Rambam disagrees, but Lamais over here, we're talking about a case, everybody knows Rabbi Kiva Eger, you can't be machal on your kavod to such a degree where it's going to be such a zilzal. And in fact, one of the very famous tshuvas on this issue is written by the Tshuva Me'aba, who was one of the great Talmidim of the Noda Bihuda. He was on the Noda Bihuda's Bezdin. That was Rabbi Lezer Fleckless. He was one of the big Talmidim of the Noda Bihuda. So he wrote that, in fact, when the Noda Bihuda heard that the Pnei Yeshua passed away, so he gave a hesped on the Pnei Yeshua, even though the Pnei Yeshua wrote befeirish that he doesn't want to hesped him, because the Noda Bihuda said it's Bizayin HaTorah. We can't ignore the fact that the Pnei Yeshua is not going to have a spadim. That's not just not giving cover to him, that's being mevaza the Pnei Yeshua. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer Fleckless writes that his Rebbe, the Noda Bihuda, went out of his way to go against the wishes of the Pnei Yeshua, and he gave a hesped, in fact, on the Pnei Yeshua, although Pnei Yeshua didn't want it. The Chassam Sofer writes as well, in the Drushas Chassam Sofer, he writes an interesting vart. He says that when his father-in-law, Rabbi Kiva Eger, passed away, he went against Rabbi Kiva Eger's wishes, and he gave a hesped, and he said, al derech hadrush, he said, hafachta mispedi lemacholi, my father-in-law, my heilige shver, Rabbi Kiva Eger, will be meichel me, hafachta misi, that I went against his wishes, and I gave a hesped lemacholi, I hope he'll be meichel me, and he won't have chinas, that I went against what he asked for. I'm doing it really because it's a covet. Said Rech Sam Sefer, how do I justify what I'm doing? Rech Sam Sefer said as follows, he said, how can you explain? What's up, Shat? You think Rabbi Kiva Eger is a bigger anav than all the great Tanaim and Amaram in the Gemara? We find Rebbe says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that Rebbe said, Al tisbeduni ba'ayaros. I don't want to have hespedim in small cities. I want to have big gatherings when I pass away. Rebbe, the Gemara says in the end of sight, that Rebbe, Mishameis Rebbe, Bala Anava, Rebbe was the greatest anav. So what are you going to say? Rebbe was makbid on his covet. He made sure that we have to have good hespedim for him, and only with a lot of people there, that it should be a lot of covet for him. What do you think? Rebbe's, that's what Rebbe cares about? Said the Chassam Sofer, the Teretz is, Rebbe knew that it's not about him. Rebbe knew it was about the Silah HaTorah. It was about the fact that after Rabbeinu HaKadosh passes away, look what we lost. We lost Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We're not just being maspid, the person, we're being maspid all the Torah that he represented. And therefore, all the Tanaim and Amaram felt that it was important that they had good hespedim. And even if you feel that you're a big anav, but still Rabbi Kiva Eger's wishes cannot be listened to here, said the Chassam Sofer, because we're not really bemoaning the fact that we lost the person Rabbi Kiva Eger, we're bemoaning the fact of all the Torah that he represented, of all the Torah, all the godless that he had in his life. Just to close with one powerful story that they have about Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam. When he passed away, so Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was the Rav of Yerushalayim, and he gave a hesped on Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam. So he got up and said, I'll read you the words. What do you think? I'm in a position to argue with Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam. I'm not here to go against what he says. He said we shouldn't give hespedim, and here I am standing in front of everyone giving a hesped. Really, I should be listening to him. However, he says, Ach aleinu lahasped asachayim. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I'm really here to give a hesped on how pathetic and how inadequate, how pitiful we are, the generation that lived with Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, that we lost him. And that said, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I have the right to be maspid because we're not being maspid him, we're being maspid ourselves. When a generation loses Talmid Chacham, we're not just being maspid the Talmud Chacham who we lost, we're being maspid our pathetic generation that had to come to such dire straits, we had to come to such a loss to the point that this is what happened to us. Like we started off, that's what Rav Kook said about the Aderis. Sometimes the Baal HaGala has to come, Kavayacho, and he has to hit us on the head and really make us understand how callous we are, how we don't realize what the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking from us. And that, said Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, in the same vein, is the pshat, why he felt he was allowed to give a hesped on Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, although it was against his wishes. He felt that I'm not really being maspid him, I'm being maspid us. And the Chaim who are here have to take stock of what's going on. They have to realize, they have to understand what they can learn from him, how they can go further in their lives, in their avodah, and understand how a tzaddik really is mashpia on the whole generation, and how losing a tzaddik is something that's a loss for all of us. It's something that should never have happened, and it's obviously because of some misdeed, some problem that we have in ourselves. It's not a problem with the tzaddik, it's a problem with us as a generation. That's what Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, sometimes we have to take a step back and realize that we're really being maspid ourselves. And we have to realize where our generation is holding at, what we need to be working on personally. Mirtz Hashem, we should only have Yeshuas and Besuras Tavos. And our generation should only know Simchas Mikano Lahaba. I wish everyone a wonderful evening. Kaddish.